Hear this story from Matthew 15, 21 through 28.
Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to come. So the sun and the light and stuff, I can't see how much time we have, so I need a timekeeper. Will you be my timekeeper? Wow. Wow. How long does David usually talk for? For a long time. So if we say 15 minutes, is that good? That's too short. Whoa. Okay, so we'll go 30 minutes? No. Yeah. Well, I get one response, David. Just like 15 minutes. That should be plenty. So what I'd like to do is put this into context, the story into context, and then talk a little bit about the Justice Center. Most of the time I go to churches, I have to be careful about how I talk. But because your pastor is David, I'm going to look tame. Most of the time I'm rather controversial, but in this church, not so much. So this is the first time in my life I've ever been known as a conservative. So this is lovely. And thank you, David, for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Lose the tie.
Just real quick. Now, let me have a timeout here for my timing. There was a parishioner of mine in Scottsdale, and she said to me one time, I didn't wear a tie, and she says, "Do you look around? Everyone else has a tie but you." She says, "This isn't a football game. This is church. Every time you speak to a Methodist church, you wear a tie." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She understood herself as Marianne Metzger. She said, "There are women in this church, and then there's me." She died years ago. I still wear a tie because I'm afraid she will haunt me. So that's why I have a tie out, because I'm scared of Marianne Metzger. And you know Marianne. She was scary, right? Yes. So let me put this into context for this story. Yeah, we're back on the clock. Yes, we're back on. Thank you. Let me put this into context. We have a tendency to read the gospel with our own ears, huh? In his 21st century ears. And a lot of times it's a comfortable gospel. We don't get the bite, or we've domesticated it, and we've tried to control it and make it cute. This gospel is not cute. This gospel should have offended you. This gospel should have disrupted your thinking. This gospel should have jolted you out. Did anybody, as we were reading that or looking at that gospel, get jolted? See, probably not, huh? Because we've read it and it's like, oh, that's a nice story about Jesus healing the daughter. But let me break it open, because this is not a nice story. This is a rather mean story and an obnoxious story, and Jesus doesn't come off as the nice guy in this story. So let me begin. The Canaanite woman is not given a name by Matthew. She's also known as the Syrophoenician woman in Mark's gospel. She's not given the name. But in the early church, when you read their sermons and they came across this gospel text, they had given her the name Justa. So that's why the center is named after her. So it's Justa. It's an apocryphal name, but I like it. And when you don't have a lot of friends, you read a lot of church fathers. So that's how we got the name. So Justa, everything is wrong with this story, huh? Let's put it into context in first century. Justa is a foreign woman. She's talking to a Jewish man. Right there, time out. She is unclean. She is polluted. She is in the wrong place at the wrong time. So she's shameful. She's yucky. And so when she says to Jesus, come and heal my daughter, the disciples are right to say, get out of here. You're disrupting our matzo ball soup. Get out. Because you're dirty. You're unclean. Now, that's the first problem with her. Second problem is that she's a woman in the public square talking to men. Wrong place, wrong time. Where is justice supposed to be? In the kitchen or at the well, taking care of the kids under 12. What is she doing out here? And why doesn't she have a male companion? Where is her chaperone? This is a crazy woman. Shameful, dirty, polluted, doesn't know her place. Get her out of here. The third problem with Justa is that she asks something so outrageous. What does she ask for? Healing for her daughter. In the ancient world and in many parts of the world today, what is it to be an honorable woman? Is it to have daughters or is it to have sons? And here she is asking to heal a daughter, a foreign daughter. Now, you got to understand that in the ancient world, everything was limited. Grace is limited, money's limited, power's limited, honor's limited. Everything is limited. So why would we ask to heal this daughter, foreign, polluted, shameful woman's daughter? See, it's an outrage. So the disciples are appropriate, huh? They're appropriate. They say, get out of here. She says, tell Jesus. Jesus, tell her to get out of here. And he does. He says, it's time for you to leave. She says, heal my daughter. And he says what? I did not come for your kind. I did not come for your kind. I came for my kind. How often is it that we use language that separates and segregates? And yet, in the song today, we talked about making us one. I know there's lots of books on spirituality. But really, spirituality is about becoming one. One with. You know, sometimes we use this kind of goofy language. Fortunate and unfortunate. Huh? See, we have those separations. I'm fortunate, they're unfortunate. Really? Is that how God works? We do it all the time, and we can go through the list. But here we have, because she's foreign, and because she's a woman, and because she's asking for outrageous things, it separates her from the group. Now, the other piece that's going on in the gospel, and you all know this because David is pretty sophisticated, has taught you that every conversation in the gospel is always a fight. It's always about honor and shame. And I'm trying to take your honor away and shame you. So anytime you see Jesus in a conversation, they're not having a good time. This is about me trying to put you down so I can take your stuff and be the winner and you be the loser. I don't mean that we're winner and loser thing here, but... So we got Justa and Jesus, and he says to her, I've only come for the house of Israel. And the disciples cheer, yay, he wins, he's the honorable one, you leave, we go back to our hummus, right? But she says what? Yes, but heal my daughter. She doesn't leave. And then he says, I haven't come here to feed the dogs. Worst insult you can call another human being, even today in the Middle East. He calls her a dog. The disciples cheer. He is the honorable one. He's done everything right. She needs to leave. But Justa doesn't shut up. She stands up and she says, yes, but even the dogs get to eat from the master's table. And at that point, Jesus is not a dumb person. He knows that you can never argue with a woman. They are always right. And all the time. And I'm not saying that as being facetious. That's true. Us guys, we have no clue. She, for a moment, She, for the moment, steps out and becomes the Christos. Huh? She becomes the Christ to remind us that in the reign of God, there are no distinctions between clean and unclean, between foreign and in the in-group or the out-group or the winners or the losers, that we are one in the reign of God. Before I opened up the Justice Center, I was hanging around downtown, and a gentleman at that point was in his early 60s, said to me, "Scott, I was just called a dog. I'm 60 years old. I served my country in Vietnam. I'm a Marine. I had a heart attack. I've had some unfortunate things go on. I'm sleeping in the cemetery. I'm not a dog." And I thought to myself, you know, I remember someone else who was called a dog many years ago. And so we named the center after her, after Justa. Because I don't believe that people are dogs. And I don't believe that people need to be treated as dogs. And so we opened up the center. The Justice Center works with older adults. It's the largest and fastest growing group of homeless in our country. Older adults, largest and fastest growing group in the country. The Justice Center is the only facility of its kind in the nation. I had no idea how to put this thing together. I still really have no idea what I'm doing. But we opened our doors over 6 years ago. And I said, here's the deal. We're not a drop-in center. We're not a detox center. We're a resource center. What resources do you need? And 13 people began the process of putting it together. And it was very simple at the beginning. It was, you know, can we have coffee? Can we take a shower? Can we read the newspaper? Can we have phone access, internet access? Can we have a church service on Sunday mornings? Can we pray during the week? Can we have a library? Can we do those kind of things? And we began to put it together. Today, we're up to about 125, 135 people a day. Over 300 older adults come to our center on a daily basis, 55 and older. The real sad part is that 50 to 60% of those who come are veterans who have served in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. Here's the sad part about this, is older adults, we live in a country where we don't appreciate older adults anyway, but then become homeless, and you become even more invisible. And here's the sad part. As Jesus called Justa a dog, what do we say when we say, why are older people homeless? I'll ask faith communities. I've stopped doing this. Now I just tell you the answer, because it hurts me. When I ask the faith community, why do you think older adults are homeless? The number one answer that I'm given from the faith communities is that they've chosen it. That they've chosen it. They're very much like the disciples. Get her out of here. She's bothering us. She's disrupting us. She's unclean. She's chosen to have this bad lifestyle. I'm sorry she's a Gentile and that she's unclean and she doesn't know the rules. That's the first answer I get. Let me just tell you that in the 6 years and the thousands of people that I've worked with, nobody in their right mind has chosen to be homeless. The second answer, and this is the one that gets me, is that they deserve it. They deserve it. Now, we're Methodists. Now, I get this from some of the Catholics. Joe's a good Catholic. So the Catholics I get because they're wanting to earn their way into salvation. But us Methodists, huh? We're not earning anything. It's been given to us. It's all grace. Huh? We deserve nothing. We have earned nothing. This has all been gift to us. And how do we respond to the gift? That's the question. Chose, deserve, not the answer. Here's the real reasons why older adults become homeless. First, physical disability. We have folks with dementia who've had strokes, who have cancer, who have heart illness, who have MS, who have ALS, those kind of things. That's who we see. Those are the folks that are destroyed. And on July 8th of 2011, we decided as a state that those folks don't need health care. So we cut it. We said older people who don't have a lot of money, they don't deserve health care. So we cut it. So now we're struggling even further than we were before. On top of that, then we also are dealing with folks with mental health. A lot more paranoid schizophrenia. We used to run about 80% men, 20% women. We're now at 70 to 30. 30% increase, paranoid schizophrenia among women. Again, we decided that we could not afford to support those folks. And so we've cut those services even further. That's the number one reason. That's who I see. None of those folks have chosen to have dementia, have a stroke, or have paranoid schizophrenia. The second one, and I guess this is where folks come with the deserve, is that the second group is that are coming out of prison after a long period of time, 20, 25, 30 years, and now are starting to rebuild their lives. If you all remember, if you lived here in Arizona, we got tough on crime in the 80s. Well, we get to 30 years later, we're still tough, and these folks are now coming out of prison. Hard to get work at 60 years old after you've been been in prison for 30 years. The third reason, substance abuse. However, substance abuse has changed. It's no longer alcohol and illegal substances. It's doctor-prescribed medications. Oxycontin is the choice. Fourth reason is bad luck. You know, you've been working, economy goes bad, you get sick, or those kind of things. That group's pretty simple. They don't have mental health or physical or felonies. They're up and running. And then the last group are folks with a developmental disability who have lived with their parents their whole lives, and their parents die. And if their families don't take care of them or their guardians, they end up in homelessness. That's who I see. It's not a choice. They don't deserve. What we try to do on a daily basis then is really basically three things. We try to get documents together, so birth certificate, ID, DD-214, all your documents in place. Once we have the documents in place, the second phase is a revenue source, whether that's employment, Social Security disability, pension, those kind of things. Once a person has an income, then the third is into housing. Independent living, assisted living, hospice care, or back with family. And we used to be able to do about a person a day out of homelessness because of the problems with resources and stuff, especially around mental health and physical health, we're about every other day. I forgot to say this at first service, because somebody asked me, well, how many people that you get into housing, so in 6 years, let's say 300, say 1,800 in the last 6 years, how many people have returned? 64. 64 out of 1,800. That tells me that no one's chosen this. Two reasons why they come back: mental health, substance abuse. Those are the two reasons. 64 people out of 1,800. So the struggle that we continually have is one, that older adults are homeless, and that 50% are veterans. Let me just suggest this. How much time do I got? I'm done. Okay. Give me 30 seconds. It says up there that I'm only at 12 minutes. Jump. No, I'm okay. Let me just finish up. I'll wrap this up. In Maricopa County, there are 19,000 people who are homeless. 10,000 are veterans. If we pulled our resources together and this became a value and an importance to us, then we can cut homelessness in half in about 10 minutes. The federal government gives the VA a Section 8 housing for veterans, 125 units a year. 10,000, 125. You see what I'm talking about? Why is that? Because our belief is that they've chosen it, they deserve it, that this is too overwhelming. 19,000 people homeless. In 10 minutes, we could get this resolved if this was a value. So I thank you for allowing me to come and share with you this morning and to tell our story and to tell the justice story. I hope I offended you. I hope I disrupted you. I hope that you got stirred up a little bit, that you got in touch with maybe some of those distinctions that you make or that I make with all of you. I'll be honest with you. I'm not used to talking to home people. Y'all make me nervous. Y'all got homes and teeth. It's frightening to me. So thank you for allowing me to be here, to allow me to share. Let's stop making distinctions between homeless and home. Let's just talk about the children of God. Let's just talk about the children of God and being disciples in the Reign of God movement. And my hope is that next year at this time, that David invites me to come, and I say to you, guess what? The Justice Center is closed. It's closed because there's no more older adults that are homeless. That's the goal. Shut this place down because there's nobody, especially our older adults, need to be in a homeless situation. So thanks for letting me share. Oh, okay.